This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network, welcome to episode number 19 of NWA Crock and Roll. I am your host, Sean Kidd, and tonight we start the first of a two-part series as we continue to journey through the summer to get over to September when we will jump back into December 85. We put together quite a few special episodes, so tonight we start part one of two. This one is called Houston Layover, where in our last set of four parts that we just did on Before Crockett, we saw a lot of Houston wrestling that we enjoyed. Will that tradition continue tonight? I don't necessarily know with our guest star tonight especially, but we'll get to that in a minute. But we will have seven matches tonight, and then we'll have more matches on our next episode to round up the two-parter of Houston. So first up, I would like to introduce my co-host. First, Dr. G, how are you doing tonight?
Doing great. I'm doing great. I have to admit, even though you're finding some good stuff, I'm getting a little Houstoned out in terms of the announcing. I will say that. I'll start off with that. But other than that, it's stuff out there that I never realized existed. So, we're going to have some fun tonight.
And some of it we wish didn't exist. So that's the other beauty of this.
But you know what? You don't know when you're choosing it, right? You have no idea before you watch it what it's going to be. So
I do not, and I shared one with our group chat that I found, and I was like, oh, God, that might be terrible, but Kyla might have talked me into adding it on our next episode. We'll talk about it at the end. But, yeah, I'm with you with the Paul Bosch stuff. Like, he is just – I don't know, man. He's just monotone. He doesn't really know the names of wrestling moves, and it just doesn't work for me. So the good thing is, you know, we got to watch it live with sound on, but you don't really have to. You can mute it, too, if you want to, if you just don't want to listen to him. Because he's not that good.
No, he's not. He's not. But tonight's going to be an interesting show, I think, for everyone involved.
Yeah, we'll see how it plays out. And so, Dr. G, welcome. My next co-host, of course, the Kettleman, Callum McDougall. How are you doing tonight?
I'm very good, Sean. Thank you for asking. How are you?
I am very well. I am much looking forward to talking about, especially the last match of the night on this show with you this evening. Well,
Why ever would that be?
I have no idea. I guess we'll have to wait and find out.
I'll just need to check with my attorney just to see if I can make a statement on it when we get there. I've been told not to in the run up to this, just in case. But no, looking forward to it. And I think I can guarantee there will be a reaction from you and G to the last match. I'll not say any more than that. The folks listening will need to wait to the end. So keeping the best till last there.
All right. So I you said your lawyer has kind of told you to keep your mouth shut till you get to that point.
Yes, I have to make no further statement.
Okay. Well, all right. Well, we'll look forward to that. And then finally, our rotating fourth horseman that is going to join us for the next two episodes. He is my co-host, or actually the host, but I am just along for the ride as one of the guys on Wrestling Chicken Salad and on Popcorn Chicken Salad. Ben Locke, how are you doing tonight, Ben Locke?
Returning guests, just remember your role. Yeah, I'm all right, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. And I also forgot to mention also on Highway to the Impact Zone. We're both on that show, but we're never on together.
No. There's two, they just don't let us play together that often.
Yeah, so Ben, really glad to have you back. You are, of course, also a returning guest on this show. It's been a while since you've been on, but we're really glad to have you to kind of go through this. And one of the reasons why I picked you for this is you're really a big like Johnny Gargano type wrestling guy, right? So it's always interesting to hear your perspective on this kind of stuff that we watch.
I am a big Gargano mark, but. Yeah, I think interesting is a good choice of word for these matches, Sean. Let's just go with interesting for now.
All right, cool. So full disclosure, like Dr. G says, I never, you know, watch these matches before I pick them. But what I try to do is I went back and I looked for Crockett wrestlers that we obviously saw from April to November, and went back and tried to find Houston matches that they were in based on our last watch that we did on our last four episodes. So pretty random. Some good, some bad, some ugly. So we'll just jump right into it. So our first match, guys, are you ready? We'll jump right into the first match. You guys all ready to go?
Ready. Let's do it.
All right. So our first match comes from us from August. And by the way, all these come from the Sam Houston Coliseum in Houston. Unfortunately, all of them have Paul Bosch. So you know what you're going to get in the announcing. But our first match tonight, 8/22/1980, is Ivan Koloff versus Tony Atlas in a 2 out of 3 falls match. And this will be our first of two or three falls match. And yeah, you know, when I first saw this, I can't imagine a worse possible 2 out of 3 falls match in my head than Ivan versus Tony Atlas, but we'll jump right into it and see how it goes. So right out of the gate, we're going to have strong wardrobe game. So Koloff is in his Dracula robe and a red shovel. I don't really get what the red shovel gimmick was, but okay. Tony Atlas comes out looking like a bumblebee in his jacket. Lloyd Pierce, the ring announcer, kind of looks like a jail felon in his outfit. So, yeah, so really bad 80s garb that we're wearing here right to start. Mr. USA versus Mr. Russia is what Bosch calls it. So very unoriginal there. So going for that Russian-USA thing. Tony gets early momentum. They have a trophy test of strength that Atlas clearly should have won, but Ivan takes control of until Tony comes back up with a monkey flip and a drop kick. Tony shocked me with a leapfrog and an arm drag spot, which is probably the most shocking, probably the best wrestling moment of the whole match. The other thing I do like is as we watch these shows, I've always enjoyed Ivan's rope knee drops. They always look pretty savage. Ivan loads up his arm guard and he hits Atlas for it for the first fall. Let's talk about the first fall. I'll go to Colin first. What did you think of the first fall of this match?
It was a thing that happened. A very, very, very slow start to this one. Ivan, we've seen some good stuff from before. This not overly stellar from him so far is what I'll say.
Yeah, pretty rough. That was my notes exactly. Said, oof, rough first fall, very boring, a lot of stalling and punching. Dr. G, what'd you think of the first fall?
I totally agree. There's not much more to say about it. It was just very blah. It was, you know, and the NWA were known for these 2 out of 3 fall kind of matches, and usually that's always the case. The first fall is kind of like it's very slow to start. Then it usually will pick up. But we'll get into that.
Yep. And Ben, and again, I'll do the next two falls straight, but I wanted to get the feeling out of the first fall first. So, Ben, what did you think of the first fall?
Both guys have been to the Stalling School Academy, haven't they? They've passed that with flying colors. I wasn't sure if it was Bosch, but I was really happy that John Arsenio D'Amato was on commentary. That was really nice.
He does remind me of D'Amato a little bit.
I will say this, that crowd, you know, they were very into this for some bizarre reason. You know, that the heat was really good on this match.
Yeah, you'll find in a lot of these Houston matches, it's kind of like with Jimmy Valiant and Crockett, they're so over and it makes no sense. And it makes you wonder what kind of drugs they were taking in some of these shows, because, yeah, it's crazy how into this they are. So, all right, so we'll jump right into we'll go to the next two falls and we'll talk about that match a whole. So fall number two. I put Christ, the longest nerve hold ever from Ivan on Tony. Then we get an Atlas bear hug on top of it. Ivan misses a top rope knee, charges Atlas, who moves, and Ivan hits the ring post. And we get a second rope headbutt that looked really, really bad, and Atlas gets the 3 count. So we are tied at 1 each. We go into fall 3. I did enjoy, and I think a couple of you made this comment in the group chat, I did rather enjoy the 80s brake check commercial at the start, which is probably the best part of this whole match. Ivan loads his pad. Atlas tries to get it off and does and puts it on. But he starts punching Ivan with it. Ref tries to get it off Atlas, but Atlas pushes the ref. Ref goes to DQ Atlas, but Ivan pushes the ref down. All out brawl and ref knocked down again. Chair shots to both heads. They continue to brawl until people run out to break it up. And then we get a double DQ trope for the third fall as Ivan is bloodied. So I will go to Dr. G with overall thoughts and rating on this match. So Dr. G, you're up first.
I was bored. I'm going to admit it. It just did not do anything for me. Just not a great matchup. And we have seen some good stuff out of Ivan Koloff. And, you know, Tony Alice was jacked, man. He, you know, we're just so used to seeing, you know, big guys today, big muscular guys today. So, it, you know, sometimes it doesn't faze us. But think about what he must have looked like to people back in those days, because there weren't many wrestlers like him. But he looked like he couldn't move. He was really big at this point. I mean, he had to be juiced big time at this point. So, yeah, I went one star on the match, to be honest.
Yeah. It's not.
It wasn't a total dud, but it was not great by any stretch.
I actually thought the after brawl was better than the entire match. The match was terrible.
Exactly.
Oh, and let me not forget to mention this match was 26 minutes long. So really, really long, really boring. I did not mind the after part, and the ref actually took more bumps than the wrestlers did, which was a little ridiculous. So, Ben, what did you think?
I agree. You know, I had that note, and I forgot to mention that. You're absolutely right, Sean.
Yeah, yeah. So, Ben, what did you think? I already know what you think, but please tell our audience.
Well, this one was the main point of our argument, wasn't it? I am with Dr. G. I went one star on it. When the most entertaining part of watching the match is a break check ad, you know you're in problems. You're problems, don't you? I will say I did enjoy the brawl after. It was lovely to see the Thompson twins from Tintin come and sort things out. That was great. But yeah, like G said, like Atlas is just jacked. That's a guy who's not. He's not just been on the juice. He's like drinking quite a lot of the stuff.
Yeah. So Ben goes one star. That was just said, Ben, one star.
One star, yeah.
All right. And then, you know, G brought up Ivan Koloff. So I was a big fan of the Ivan Koloff Bob Backlund match we watched in our last series that Shiflet, who was a guest star on, was not a fan of, I believe. But what does he know? But yeah, so I was a little disappointed in this match quite a bit because I know Ivan does do some good stuff. So Colin, round us out on this first match. What'd you think?
Yeah, I liked the Ivan match from the last one as well. There was a never ending nerve hold as has been mentioned. I think we've seen better from both guys. It won't be the last time you hear me say this tonight. My last comment was, this is a match that happened, but I really wish it hadn't. Yeah, I've gone one star as well on it. It was it was a bit of a dog.
Okay, and I will round out the four. I also went one star, and it was mainly for the after brawl. The match itself was really, really bad, and but the after brawl was good, but not 26 minutes of my time that I'll ever get back that I wish I could. And we'll leave it at that. So we'll jump. So we're off to a bad start tonight. So let's see what the next match brings. So we go to match number two. And when I picked this match, it's like, man, how can you lose on this match? Because these guys have had such a tremendous feud and very rarely have a bad match. So it's the Midnight Express versus the Rock and Roll Express from May 11th, 1984. I believe the Rock and Rolls at the time are the Mid-South Tag Team Champions. It was great to see, I thought, an early match from the Famous Feud, so I was really, really happy to find it. Condrey looks really out of shape, and Bobby looks super, super young. The crowd, speaking of hot crowds, super hot for the Rock and Roll entrance. Cornette threatens to hit Paul Bosch with a racket, which popped me because I wish he would have, so we don't have to listen to his commentary the rest of the night, so that was very funny. The ref pulling Condrey's hair to get him off of Gibson, and then pulling his hair and made the crowd go bonkers, and the Rock and Roll Express actually had to protect the ref because he was pulling Condrey's hair and they got pissed off. First 10 minutes is all hair pulling and headlocks until we get a eat and run in. And Ricky does that leg scissors headlock combo roll on both Midnight Express members, but it actually took 10 minutes to get like the first real spot. So really slow start for a Rock and Roll Midnight Express match. Crowd absolutely going nuts for Ricky Morton's offense. Long heat on Morton after a racket smack with quick tags by the Midnight Express and taking turns tossing Morton out of ring with more racket shots. Eaton hits a fantastic power slam at one point. There was a fantastic moment where Gibson gets pissed off, runs it across the ring, and hit tosses Morton to the corner, and it runs back to tag in, which is something I'd never seen before in a tag match that I thought was really, really cool. Gibson ducks a double clothesline. Morton grabs Eaton's foot on a rebound, and Gibson crossbodies Condry for three. And then in the aftermath, a random cup hits Eaton in the face. The crowd is absolutely nuclear. The last 10 minutes were really, really good after a slow start, and I love the heel tag work, and Morton great as always. Before I give my ranking, I will go to Ben first. What did you think of the match, Ben?
This was more like it, Sean. This is the kind of wrestling I like. Thank you. You got some points back for this. Like you say, that the pop before the match is not just me. It's like otherworldly. They absolutely lose their shit for the Rock and Roll Express. It was like if Elvis and the Beatles had come into the building or something. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it's like the roof was coming off the place. It was freaking ridiculous.
Yeah, and like you say, because the difference between this and the first match is, yeah, they were doing a lot of stalling, like, you know, nothing really happened in the first sort of 10 minutes, but, like, they're that over, and they're that good with, like, the facial mannerisms and everything that they can get away with it. They know how to play to the crowd, whereas Atlas and Koloff just didn't. Yeah, I was like you, that hip toss spot, that popped me so much when they did that.
Have you ever seen that before in a tag? I have never, ever seen that. Have you ever seen that before?
No, somebody needs to bring that back yesterday.
Yeah, that was awesome.
But yeah, I honestly thought, like I say, first 10 minutes stalling, last 10 minutes is like really good, proper tag team wrestling. I went 2 3/4 on it only because of those first 10 minutes. I could have gone off. If it was just those last 10, it would have been a lot higher, but you know, you've got to knock a bit off. But yeah, really, really enjoyed this.
Yeah, I agree with you. The first 10 minutes knocked it off a little bit. It was an easy 3-star match if you had just done the last 10 minutes, but
yeah.
I went 2 3/4 stars as well. So I agree with you. All right, so Ben, we're agreeing. 2 for 2 tonight on us, so yeah, we're rolling.
This is scary. Don't tell Logan.
I won't. Colin, what did you think?
I echo Ben's first sentiment there. This is more like this was bloody excellent compared to the last one. The Rock and Roll Express ridiculously over as expected, and I think that was more that was actually helped by the fact that there was no commentary in this one, so you could hear the live crowd. I thought the referee Stoogin, when he was like trying to explain that, oh, did you throw him over the top rope? Oh no, he didn't. Oh no, he did throw him over the top rope. Did you throw him over the top rope? That was a bit much. Mm-hmm. Maybe a bit less of the referee would go a long way. I can see where Errol Hebner got it from. I did have a note that Bobby Eaton hit a hell of a power slam on Ricky Morton during Morton's comeback with about 5 minutes to go. And I've also got a note about the very inventive hot tag. That needs to come back somehow. I don't know who would do it. Maybe the New Day. We could get away with it, or I could see FTR or somebody doing it. Although maybe face FTR, just going a bit old school for them, you could probably get away with it. But that is that was pretty cool. The referee lost control early doors and never really regained control. But it was absolutely superb. I've actually gone 3 stars on it. I thought it was great.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, you know, you think you've seen every wrestling match and every move you can, and then you go back to something like this from '84, and something as simple as, you know, from a common sense standpoint of running in and hip tossing your partner across the ring for a tag, and we've never seen it again. It just totally like enthralled me. It was kind of like that last match we watched on our last show with the California Hells Angels. I was just like, hook, line, and sinker. I was just so mesmerized by that move. That was so simple. So, yeah, pretty incredible. Dr. G, what did you think?
You know, I really loved this match. I was glad you found this. This was a gem that, you know, like you said, and then to that hot tag, that was, I never seen anything like that before. I was trying to think, like, who would be able to do that today? New Day's actually a pretty good one.
Street Profits, maybe Street Profits in current day.
Street Profits.
Yeah.
But I will say this, yes, the beginning maybe wasn't the pace that we would all like to have seen. But again, I try hard to put myself back into those days where wrestling was a little different than the presentation we're used to today. I had agreed with Callum. I went 3 stars on this just because I thought that the rest of the match just totally made up for it. And the crowd is freaking hot. You know, you hear, and I remember when we were watching wrestling in those days. But again, when I was watching Crockett at that time, there was also WWF was taking off. So you just got so used to their glitz and glamour and stuff. But the Rock and Roll Express were really over. I mean, Yeah, I know they always say the Road Warrior pop, but I'll tell you the truth. There's sometimes they give the Road Warriors a run for their money in terms of the crowd response.
I would hedge a bet. Rock and Roll's probably got bigger pops than the Road Warriors did during their prime. The Rock and Rolls did, I think.
You know, it's something, and Road Warriors are my favorite team, but I don't know if I could argue with you on that because this crowd was just freaking hot. And this is not a time when they, you know, we've seen some great feuds. You'll see some great feuds later on in the 80s with these two teams. This was just phenomenal. It really was. And, you know, Jim Cornette and his antics and the crowd, like I said, the crowd just added that extra specialness to this match. So I had to go 3 stars on this. I couldn't knock them off for the first 10 minutes. I really couldn't. Sometimes I do, but for this match, I couldn't.
Yeah, I kind of felt like I had to because it was, I don't know, just a lot of hair pulling and stalling. And I could see, but I have no problem going 3 stars. I could too, but I'm going to stick with 2¾. You know what's also really cool about doing these shows is last episode we saw the Midnight Express take on the Fantastics. And so it's really clear that 84 was Rock and Roll Express, 85 was Fantastics. Then they go back to the Rock and Roll Express and Crockett. So it's really cool to see. They've worked with these teams for a long time. And again, the Fantastics match we watched was 3 years before we got that feud in Crockett. So it's kind of cool to see the Midnight Express in their element with those two teams, I think. I really enjoyed that. So, all right. So our next match. So we definitely rebounded on our first one, on the second one. So let's see about the third one. I think we might have some different thoughts and opinions on this match for sure. So Nick Bockwinkel, who we've seen a lot of in the last few episodes, your AWA World Champion is taking on Dick Slater. This is for the AWA World title. It is also 2 out of 3 falls. It is from April 16th, 1982. Slater is your Southwest Champion. The winner of this match, so whoever walks out the World Champion on the next show will be defending against the Junkyard Dog, which I did not find that match online, so I'm not sure many of us would want to see that, but who knows. So let's start off. Slater leads early with hammerlocks, chops, and a small package attempt. Slater blatantly doesn't connect on a headbutt, which really looked bad, and Bockwinkel sold anyway. Pretty good mat wrestling on trade-offs on pit attempts by both. Lots of toe holds, face locks, more Slater headbutts. I think Slater looks good and stiff on the offense, so even though maybe some of it might not be what I call sexy, I do think Slater always looks really stiff and good. Slater works on the arm for a long while. Bockwinkel gets a figure four, works the leg on a ring post, then drops Slater's neck on top rope for first fall at 3 at 15 minutes and 16 seconds. So the first fall came in at 15:16. So I'll go through the whole match before we talk about it. So kind of a unique look, kind of a unique move on the first fall. Wasn't anything snazzy, but I guess it got the job done. Fall number 2, Slater beats and kicks the shit out of Nick, gets a figure four of his own. Slater does a top rope elbow to the back of the head, and he gets a 3 count at the 3-minute mark. So 18 minutes in, we're tied at a fall apiece. Fall number 3, Slater continues to pummel Nick and hits a pile driver and suplex and a side breaker. Nick throws Slater into a ref, and Slater gets a roll up, but Nick reverses it for 3 at a minute and 15 seconds in the third fall. I am going to go to Ben first on his thoughts of this match because I don't want to lay my cards on the table until I hear him.
what are you trying to say, that we might disagree on something?
I think we might potentially disagree on this, Matt, so I'm gonna let you go first.
All right, I will say this with all due respect to everybody who listens to this pod and to the co-host, everything, but this might possibly be, well, certainly the first 15 minutes might possibly be the dullest thing I have ever watched in wrestling. It is literally just two blokes laying on the mat doing headlocks and chin locks for 15 minutes, and that's all it is. I have got I have got a note that says, and I will read it word for word. Let me just find it. Here we go. God, this is so boring. I could go make some dinner and they would still be in this headlock. I actually wrote that down.
I thought the word you were going to say was great.
No. The word I'm going to say is dull. Dull. The last couple of minutes was, you know, with the pile, you know, that bit was really good. And I'm not saying this is like some, like, you know, NXT supermarket, everything's gotta be brilliant. No, it doesn't have to be like all snazzy moves. Just make things interesting. There's nothing happens interesting. I've scored the match 2 stars, Sean. So let's go that far. Because there's nothing bad. I can't say there's anything bad. It's all competently worked. It's all, you know, there's no botches. There's nothing like that. So I can't knock it down for anything. I think I'm being fair. But it just was not my cup of tea at all.
Yeah, I mean, 2 stars, I think, generational-wise, that probably makes sense. I'm okay with that. Like, the way you were talking about it, you were going to go, like, freaking half a star, or, like, a Kalamahu on me or something. But 2 stars is okay.
Like I say, I can't do that because it's all competent and it all makes sense. It's just not very enjoyable to sit through.
Okay, so Ben goes 2 stars. Dr. G, what did you think?
You know, Sean, you know, a lot of times I'm old school, but I'm agreeing with Ben on this. It didn't do anything for me. It really didn't. But I understand, just like I went 2 stars as well, because again, just the two competitors themselves, and I see there were the psychology that was involved. I just wish there was at times there was just a quicker pace. I don't, like you said, I don't need to have, you know, flips and flops and all this all over the place for the whole match, but just have a little something more. At times it just really, really dragged. Like I said, if I find myself looking at my phone or doing something else, that's when I know I'm it's not catching my attention. So that's why I went 2 stars on it. Just, there's not really much to say about it. That's the thing, you know, like there wasn't anything that was exciting about it. Maybe I missed something, but that's
okay. So we're 2 for 2 pretty much with Ben and Dr. G. So Colin, what did you think?
We've seen better from both men. Now Ben, if you think this was dull, can I point in the direction of Croc and Roll episode number 6, September 85 super matches. There was a match, Ric Flair against Wahoo McDaniel on that one.
2 out of 3 falls too.
2 out of 3 falls as well. Yeah.
I get the feeling you're on to 2 out of 3 fall mark with all this.
If you want to see a dull match, and that was 47 minutes, that one.
four star match.
Apparently so.
You know, it is a reference for Callum. You know, on Football Focus, when somebody has to write the number in brackets, is that what they have to do there? So it's 47 brackets.
God, 40. Was that really episode 6? Wow.
Episode 6. Wow. December the 16th of last year, so almost just over 6 months ago, and it felt like that match went on for about 6 months when I was watching it. This one, slightly shorter, the crowd weren't really into it either. I don't know if they were concentrating on the action or they just weren't into it. I've got a note here because I felt like I had to make notes. Why does everyone do a figure 4 in the 1980s? Again, it was there, but it wasn't great, and I've gone 2 stars as well, purely for the fact that it was better than Wahoo Flair, but it wasn't great.
Wow. All right, well, I think I'm on an island amongst myself on this one. So we've watched a lot of Bockwinkle over the last few weeks, and we watched Slater, and I think all of us have liked Slater as kind of that quasi Terry Funk kind of wrestler. And I think we've also enjoyed Bockwinkle. I gave it 2.5 stars. I mean, I guess it's not that far off from you guys, but I actually enjoyed it. I liked the mat wrestling. I thought the last like 5 to 10 minutes was pretty good. And yeah, so I mean, I guess 2.5 is not that far above what you guys are, but I clearly liked it a lot more than you did. So, all right. Well, my co-host let me down on this match. So Ben, I guess you win this one. for Bach, Winkle, and Slater. So you win.
Gotta win one occasionally, aren't you?
All right, so let's see how. Were you going to say something, Colin?
I was going to say, did me and G let you down, or did you let the two of us down?
I think you let me down, honestly. Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I mean, as the host, I could make that call, but in reality, I probably let you guys down. But I'm the host, and I'm going to call it the other way. So
Callum, are you so scarred by that Wahoo match? I mean, you had like all the details and even remembered everything, like the show. You probably remember. I mean, you're really that scarred from that.
It's like The Shining. I've written it on every single wall around the house. Just the one day I'll get shown back, like in the dining room where I'm sitting just now. It's on the ceiling and everything.
I can't believe, you know, it's funny that that's 13 episodes ago and it's still an ongoing gimmick on this show. We book better than current day wrestling, I think. So that's pretty good.
I think so.
Long term.
Yeah. All right. So we'll go to our next match, our fourth match before we take a short break. So this one goes to August 31st, 1984. It is Magnum TA versus Hacksaw Butch Reed for the North American title. Butch is out with Ernie Ladd. Ernie Ladd is bitching about the refs. The other note I made is a young Bruce Pritchard is your ring announcer. Grizzly Smith is your matchmaker, who is Jake Roberts' father. And then we have a Sonny King, who is the ref. So they bitch about the ref. They don't like it. So they get a new ref, and your new ref is Jose Lothario, who is a Houston legend, but probably most of you know more for 96 Shawn Michaels management, which was a really bad move then. So I'm sure this will be a bad move here tonight. And the other note I made is, goddamn, the North American title is freaking huge, probably bigger than the AEW title. So Bosch says TA left shortly after this match for the Mid-Atlantic. So this is right before he starts wrapping up his stint here in Mid-South. So this was actually the commentary is actually done after the match. The ref stuff lasted literally like 6 minutes before we even got to a match. This whole back and forth with the ref lasted forever. The other note I made is Butch Reed's tights is missing and the B and the U from his last name. So Butch does not say BU. It only says they're missing the B and the U on his tights. I don't know if you guys caught that. So we'll get a test of strength. We get a TA drop kick and an arm drag to finally start the match about 7 or 8 minutes in. TA works an arm bar and Reed and tries to body slam him, but TA rolls over with it, which I thought was a pretty cool looking move. Butch Reed then works TA's arm, then TA takes it back. Reed hits a savage knee to the face that at the 13-minute mark. The best thing I think we've seen this whole time up to this point. Reed follows up with a bulldog for two and a neck breaker. There's a nice suplex on TA into the ring. There's a long face lock by Reed and a rear chin lock. At 20 minutes, TA hits a nice sunset flip before both collide mid-ring. TA hits a flying forearm and numerous punches and belly-to-belly where Butch's leg, it's kind of a cool spot. You see this sometimes when he does this belly-to-belly. He does a belly-to-belly and Butch's leg knocks the ref down. And then TA knocks Ladd down as he climbs up on the apron. TA whiffs on a drop kick that Butch still sells, but the commentary did try to cover it. While Jose pushes TA out of the corner while beating on Butch, Ladd hands Butch over an object. TA's nailed, and we have a new North American champion at three. But wait, Jose raises Butch's hand, and the object falls out, and Jose reverses the decision and gives the match over to Magnum TA. So with that, and then after the match, they beat up Ladd and Butch. So I will go to Dr. G first. What did you think of this match?
You know, the beginning part, obviously, with the whole ref thing, that was kind of boring, but I'm not going to hold that against the match. You know, that's just part of the presentation. So, you know, it is what it is. But match was okay. You know, I don't really have anything bad to say about it. You know, Magnum, it's so funny because we got so used to seeing him in these quick matches, in the Crockett territory. They were really, really trying to get him over big time in the Crockett territory. I thought the battling, I actually enjoyed the end, you know, after the match where, with Lothario got involved, you know, after they overturned the decision. I mean, saw a lot of that booking in my day back watching NWA wrestling, and especially even in Florida, that was always done. You know, the dusty finish, I guess, if you want to call it that. So I went 2.5 stars on the match. I enjoyed it, and I thought the crowd, you know, the crowd at times really was hot for it. But those Houston crowds just seemed to be hot for mostly everything at that point.
It's the same crowds for Jimmy Valiant when they get to North Carolina. They just plant them in the crowd. So
I don't know what it is, but no, I enjoyed the match. I mean, I was, like I said, I can't put it up there with the Rock and Roll match. No doubt about it. But I thought it was better than I thought it was going to be, because I knew that, you know, Magnum T at this point was in the business maybe a couple of years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't in the business that long, so I didn't know what to totally expect it. And Butch Reed was always a pretty good hand. Even though he's a big guy, he could move at times. You know,
we've seen some great Butch Reed on this show. We see matches against Flair, and he seems a good one.
He's not Tony Atlas by any stretch of the imagination. He, you know, he's pretty jacked at times too, Butch Reed. I mean, I know it seemed like, you know, his body changed very often in terms of, you know, how jacked he was. But I thought I think he moves pretty well. I think he's a pretty good hand. And you know, Magnum looked better than I expected at this point in time.
Okay. So I also went 2.5 stars on this match. I thought it was fair. I think we've seen better from both of them. Especially, like, I can remember the Butch Flair match that we've seen, and we've seen Butch in a couple different matches. And TA, we've seen, I mean, obviously the greatest match we've seen probably on this show still is Starrcade 85 against Tully. But 2.5 I think is fair. Colin, what'd you think?
I was looking forward to this one because obviously, we've seen some great Magnum stuff, and Butch Reed's always been really good when we've watched him as well. Jose Lothario, even whenever this was 1984, he looked old then. I mean, he still somehow looked older in this, which he did in 96 when he was managing Sean. Commentary a bit off. I noted at one point that it was whoever was doing it said an Oklahoma Stampede style maneuver there. It wasn't. It was a bulldog.
That's one thing with Bosch. His commentary, he doesn't know wrestling moves. It's the more you watch him, the more you like. There's some coming up where he calls a suplex a body slam. Like, he doesn't know his holds.
Yeah, and that's not. You would think that he should, given the fact that he's been a promoter for since Jesus was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked the last 5-10 minutes of the match. I thought it was really good. I burst out laughing when Butch Reed decked Jose Lothario. I thought it was a good match. I gave it 2.5 stars. I thought it was good.
All right, so we're 3 for 3 on 2.5. Ben, bring us home before the break.
I'm going to be on an island on my own with this match, because I was very pleasantly surprised by this, because, like, you know, I'm used to like the late 80s Butch Reed, you know the Natural and Doom and all that, and like you say, he's a solid hand, but he's not like great or anything. And I do love me some Magnum. First of all, Sean, I've got to say, I know you're a belt guy. That belt is fabulous.
It really is
massive, but it's fabulous. And yeah, I really, like I say, I really enjoyed this. And like I say, the difference between this and, you know, the last match and the first match is these guys were moving around all the time. They were interacting with the crowd. There was no real boring spots. They were just, you know, they were just lying there in holds. You know, that whole last sequence of the belly to belly was really nice. The drop kick and the forearm smash by Magnum was lovely. I'm gonna shock you. I went 3 stars on this.
It's not too much of a shock. I mean, 2.5 to 3 is kind of, you know, that's good.
I mean, I would say this is a slightly better match than the Midnight match, but you know, the crowd heat was bigger for the Midnight match. But I'm going to give this, like I say, I actually really enjoyed the match though, this, and the crowd wasn't that far behind.
Okay, so yeah, so definitely a solid match, one we all can agree on. And so it looks like this one in the Midnight Express we agree on. We agree on match one, and 3 out of 4 are not big fans of the Bockwinkel match. So. Again, good interaction, a good kind of intermingled, good kind of good, bad, and different, just kind of a flavor of different things you see in Houston. So with that, we are going to take our first break. When we come back, we're going to have matches that involve Tully Blanchard, Crusher Darso, who everybody knows as Crusher Khrushchev. And then the main event will be what we're all waiting for, is the 2 out of 3 falls match between Wahoo McDaniel versus Harley Race. So we will be back right after this.
This old town, everybody puts me down. Well, I'm a face without a name, I'm just a walking in the rain, going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. I got holes in both of my shoes while I'm a walking case of the blues. I saw a dollar yesterday, but the wind blew it away, going back to Houston, Houston, Houston. You're nuts. I haven't eaten in about a week. I'm so hungry when I walk, I sleep. When nobody calls me friend, it's sad the shape I'm in, going back to Houston, Houston.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to the second half of our Houston Layover Part 1 episode with our guest Ben Locke. We have gone through our first 4 matches, and now we're going to go through our final 3 matches for this Part 1 episode. So match number 5 is with Tully Blanchard, and it is with a guy who we have brought up before in commentary, from a commentary piece that wasn't really, really good, his Mike Graham. So it's Tully Blanchard versus Mike Graham. This is from July 24th, 1981. So apparently on commentary, they fill us in that these two met before, and the dynamic duo of Gino and Tully beat Mike up. So this is kind of a rematch. Graham, the crowd is super hot again for this. Graham has some big face fire to start. Tully works over arm, but Graham throws him to the ropes and hits a nice power slam into a figure four. Tully with a long rear chin lock spot that Mike reverses to one of his own by pulling Tully's hair. Graham hits a nice arm drag, but Tully yanks his hair back into his own chin lock again. Tully hits a nice knee to the back of neck and keeps working over the head. There's a nice sequence to a black slide. The crowd again is hot. Graham hits a nice atomic drop, then works a deathlock chin lock on Tully, kind of a combo. Graham then spreads Tully's legs on ropes and corner and kicks his groin several times, then works over Tully's leg. Tully uses a free leg to kick Graham off, which seems simple and effective, so I thought that was cool. Tully hits a second rope elbow. Graham comes up with a suplex for two that Tully kicks out of, and Graham starts selling. He's doubled up in pain, like he hurt himself on the suplex. Tully chokes him out. Graham hits a body press for two, and they collide mid-ring. Graham gets a small package for two. The time limit expires, and Graham applies a figure four that he wouldn't let go of, until Gino runs in, and then they grab a chair, and Graham grabs a chair to defend himself. Heels grab a chair, and it's a three-way chair standoff that Graham wins, clobbering both. I am going to reserve my opinion on this match until I hear from the three of you. So, Colm, you go first. What'd you think?
Mike Graham. I'll admit, right, so when I first saw Graham in the chat, when you just, because all you put was Tully versus Graham, I was afraid that it was going to be Billy. So suppose that Mike is a slight upgrade, and at least he's away from the commentary table again, so, you know, I'm looking for positives. The positives went away for the first 10 minutes of the match, because there was a never-ending headlock. Mike Graham is a very competent wrestler. He's by far not the worst that we've seen. He's a good hand, but I cannot take him seriously as an equal to Tully Blanchard.
I feel like the good hand is the kiss of death. That's like a JR line. Whenever he talks about wrestlers, he doesn't want to call them good. He just calls them good hands.
Yeah, I think it's one of these ones that you call him a good hand if you can get a good match out of them, but they're boring as anything. They've got no other redeeming qualities. A bit like Mike Graham. A man who really has a cheek to say that anyone never drew a dime, let's be fucking honest. I couldn't take him seriously as an equal to Tully, and the post-match quite annoyed me as well, because you've got Mike Graham with a chair fending off Tully and Gino by himself with a chair. I'm like, come on. It's Tully Blanchard and Gino Hernandez. I mean, they've got more talent and charisma in their pinkies between them than Mike Graham's ever had. Didn't like the time limit draw. It made my main roster angry. Graham is a tool for going for a submission within the last 10 seconds. I gave it 1.5 stars purely because Tully was in the match and he tried his hardest.
Wow. See, I didn't think for Mike Graham, I didn't think it was that bad, but it's almost like you think Mike Graham's going to be bad, so anything that he does good, you're going to give him extra points for, and that's probably the wrong way to rate it. So, okay, 1.5. Gee, what did you think?
You know, I went 2 stars on it because of Tully, to be honest with you, but I agree with Callum. Like, you know, and again, watching Championship Wrestling from Florida, I never understood the Mike Graham thing. He just, like you said, I don't think he ever drew a dime. It's, you know, whoever he's wrestling drew the dime, to be honest, because he's just nothing. You know, they should have made him a heel, because, you know, he's a real tough guy. You know, in real life, you know, he was a tough guy. He was, you know, I know.
Well, and he was like always a real asshole on commentary too. So he's probably a real asshole. So he probably did.
Probably.
Yeah.
And his dad was a heel at one time. So it probably would have been better for him to be a heel. And he might have actually been, you know how, like, I always thought Bob Backlund, when, you know, if he would have done that heel persona back in the 80s, he could have drew a lot of money. I mean, he was so much better of a heel than he was.
Oh, man, Backlund versus Bruno. Think about Backlund versus Bruno.
I agree.
A heel. Yeah.
Because Backlund as a face was horrendous. It's amazing that he when he came on and started talking like that compared to how he was in the 70s and early 80s, it was, you know, twofold. But Mike Graham, just, there's just nothing there. Like, there's nothing that makes me want to be like, I want to root for Mike Graham, you know? And I agree with Callum, like, he's not Tully's equal, but Tully did a good job. And like you said, Mike Graham is a good hand. It's not like the guy doesn't know how to wrestle, but like Sean, you said the kiss of death. Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right when JR does say that, it usually doesn't mean, you know, even though he's trying to be nice about it, that doesn't really mean much. Sometimes being a good hand actually could work against you, because you're the guy that just doesn't stand out. Like, Mike Graham just does not stand out.
Yeah. When I hear good hand, I hear you suck. That's what I hear. I hear good hand. That's my interpretation of that.
So I mean, but I'm gonna go the 2 stars on it. I thought Tully did a good job. I thought, he's just such a great heel, just such a son of a bitch. But I just love it. And like I said, I'm watching this, I'm like, wow, Mike Graham probably would have been a really good heel. Just a nasty SOB. You know, he just does not exude face to me, like a guy that I want to root for.
So. Well, everybody's supposed to be good at something. Unfortunately, I don't think we've seen it out of Graham ever. So, no. Ben, what'd you think?
Oh, au contraire, boys. Au contraire. You say Mike Graham has no talent, but it takes a very special kind of person to make Tully Blanchard look really, really dull.
Okay. All right.
You know, I Callum mentioned the headlock. I timed it, Callum. It was 3:54.
I got news for you. That's not long for 80. That's not long for this, like, timeline of wrestling, actually. That's probably short.
The last 2 minutes were really good, but it was spoiled as always by the ref counting down, the announcer counting down the time limit. So that kind of takes you out of the match. But yeah, much like Buck Winkle and Slater, this was really a competent fair, but nothing was going to make you jump out your seat and get excited. Cause like the boys have said, Graham is nowhere near Tully's level. Nowhere near, or Gino's level even. So I also went 1.5 stars.
Okay. And I also went with G. I went 2 stars, mainly for Tully. And, you know, say what you will about Graham. He was super over. The crowd was hot for him. But I feel like he could have put a broom in the middle of this ring, and the Houston crowd would have loved everybody. So it's probably irrelevant. But I went 2 stars. I think Tully saved it enough to eke that out for me. So yeah. So we're not doing so hot. So we got so far the Midnight Express match we both liked, or we all liked, and then we also have the Magnum match that we've all been agreeing on. So let's keep on cruising. Let's go to match number 6, which this one was a big surprise for me to find. Missing Link. This is a second Missing Link match we've watched in the last few shows. And before Crockett, he faced Ron Garvin, and we were shocked at how built he was, the match, and pretty much squashed Ron Garvin in this match. So I was shocked to find this match against Barry Darso, who is the face and is going by Crusher Darso. And this is Darso versus Link. It's from November 4th, 1983. Not only that, it's a freaking I Quit match. So I didn't even know that these guys even had a feud that would be relevant to an I Quit match. So I was really, really curious to watch this match. So we'll jump right into it. So Darso, the first note I made is dressed in Daisy Duke's shorts, which was crazy. The graphic tells us quickly that it's a loser must quit match, which I had no idea when I selected this match. Link is still jacked. Darso is the baby face. Back and forth lockup, stiff Link forearms. Link gets shook on a shoulder block standoff to Darso, then gets body slammed. Darso knocks Link down with his shoulder blocks. They trade off arm bars. Link hits knees to the shoulder blade that looks like just really, really stiff, and then he does the same to the back and does some headbutts to the back as well. Just overall, thought good back and forth work by Link on Darso. He sits on his back and pulls neck for a while, but Darso powers forward to send Link through the ropes outside, but Link comes back and keeps working over the back. Darso powers up again and sends Link into the corner. Darso gets a full Nelson. Link kicks up to top rope to fall back and break the hold. Darso does an Oklahoma Stampede and backdrop into a backbreaker, and Link quit. And I was super shocked by this match. So, Colin, what did you think about this match?
Yeah, it was interesting. I didn't realize it was an I Quit match. I thought you heard the announcer at the start saying the loser must quit. I thought it was maybe loser leaves town. I didn't really know what to make of it. It was a bit like the Garvin Link match that we watched the last time, or during the last.
It's like Link's an enigma. It's like one of those moment in time things that you watch and go, that really happened, and I had no idea. It's weird, right? It's just like a weird watch.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, he seemed to dominate a lot of the match up until the last couple of minutes, and then Darso really get back into it. Darso, by the way, had very interesting attire.
Daisy Duke's shorts. Yes.
It was like a mix between NXT Rusev and Stevie Richards.
Yes, good call.
And the Missing Link, also have a note. Imagine him walking through an airport with that hair. What must people have thought when he gave over his passport and he's got that hair and it says first last name Link, first name Missing, first place parts unknown. the last 2 minutes were quite difficult. The last 2 minutes were quite good, but it was a difficult one for me to rate, I think, because again, it's much like we had throughout the before they were Crockett, very, very strange matches. I have my last note here is 2 stars ? Because I'm not quite sure, but let's go with Pencilman for 2 stars, and then I'll make a final decision based on what everyone else says, because I really don't know where I fall on this one.
Okay, so I'm gonna throw my cards on the table. I went 3. I thought it was a unique match. I was shocked at how good Darso was as a babyface. I thought they looked stiff working each other, and I was not bored once during this match. And if it's not supposed to be a 3, that's fine. But I was kind of like you. It's like I didn't know which way to go. It was like one of those matches that you watch and you're like, that happened. I was really enjoying it. I was really entertained, and then I was really shocked at the outcome. But I went 3 stars. So, Ben, what did you think?
I first of all made the note that, yes, Link is built like a brick shit house. Mm-hmm. That's a, yep. And also, I thoroughly enjoyed Darso in his Roman Colosseum Daisy Dukes as well. I thought it was spectacular. I'm with you two. I quite like this. I don't know whether it was because, obviously, when you click the link, I don't mean to use that word, but yeah, you know, you click the link that Sean sends out, and this match was only 13 minutes long. It was like this is going to be a sprint, and these are two power guys doing power moves, and they mix well. I went 2.25 on it. I'm like Calendar. I didn't know it was a last man. I didn't know it was an I Quit match until you heard the ref just keep saying, "Let's give it. Are you going to give it up? Let's give it up. Let's give it up." It's like, all right, ref, calm down.
And then it like came out of nowhere. Like most I Quit matches, you kind of build to that like end game, right? And this one just kind of seemed to be like, just, I quit. It's over. It was weird. It's just a weird match.
Like, and there wasn't that many submission holds in the 30 minutes. Like, you know, even before he gave up, I think there was only like a couple of like headlock, chin locks and a full Nelson. There wasn't that, you know, there was nothing else really. But yeah, I thought, like I say, I was pleasantly surprised given what you know about both guys. So I went 2.25 on it.
Okay. And Dr. G, what did you think?
You know, I was quite surprised when I saw this. I'm like, is this really going to be a good match when I saw the names and, you know, seeing Crusher as a face? But, you know, he seemed to be pretty over as a face. And I agree with you, Ben. When I saw Missing Link, I was, wow. I said, oh, maybe it was, maybe he and Tony Atlas are sharing the same juice or something, because he was really jacked. I mean, even more jacked than when he was in WWF. Mm-hmm. But I went 2.5 stars on this because I was pleasantly surprised. I agree with you guys. It was a little confusing with the I Quit stuff. And I was actually shocked that Garso won. I have to be honest. I thought Link was going to win the match.
I thought it was a no-brainer that Link was going to just kick his ass.
But the fans were really into Darso at this time. So, again, I never saw the whole thing where he turned, you know, when he turned heel. So maybe just he was so over as a face that him turning heel was really, really a fun thing to do. So I went 2.5 stars. Sean, I was pleasantly surprised. I have to be honest. When I saw this, I'm like, 13 minutes. It's probably going to be a lot of just, you know, locking up and, you know, kind of boring stuff, but I thought they did a pretty good job.
Yeah, I like to kind of throw in kind of that surprise match when we do these, and this one for me was definite. I mean, this one, I think both Missing Link matches we watched this summer so far have this one and that California Hells Angels are probably the three that have kind of got me in that trance of mesmeration, not quite honestly being able to figure out how I really felt about it. So I just went the safe route on this one at 3. Colin, did you want to change yours? Or are you going to stick with your two?
I'll go up to 2.5. Okay. I'll go up to 2.5 because I think
we're agreeing a lot tonight.
We were all taken in by it. The referee was even taken in by it because I am convinced that I saw the Link go for a pinfall in an I Quit match and the referee counted.
But that tells you how much I was into it, because I was just kind of in a trance and I didn't even notice that because I was kind of in awe of what I was watching for whatever reason. It's weird.
The ref didn't even have an idea either. He was so taken in by it, he just forgot what rules were happening.
So I guess it's safe to say that this... Sorry, go ahead, Ben.
No, I just said, do you want to give it up? Do you want to give it up?
I was going to say the Missing Link must be a draw because we've kind of enjoyed them both times we've watched them. Too bad we probably won't watch them again in this watch. But yeah, I mean, if you want to go just kind of see like a once in a moment of time match, it's an I Quit match that if you want to put it in the grand scheme of things has Missing Link versus Demolition Smash. If you really want to go modern day, watch this match. It's definitely, I wouldn't call it a hidden gem, but I would probably call it a hitting. Just go watch it. I don't really know what to call it. It's just a unique match. That go watch it if you haven't seen it. And I'll leave it at that.
It's a bit like the California Hells Angels match that you mentioned for the last time, Sean. It's not great by any stretch of the imagination, but it has to be seen to be believed.
Yeah, it's really interesting.
It's a curiosity, isn't it? It's a curiosity. Like you say, you can spend 10-15 minutes watching it, and you're not going to feel like you're wasting your time.
No, and that's what. Anyway, that's again when we do these watches. Part of the fun for me is these kind of matches that randomly just pop up. So yeah, you're gonna have your boring shit and all that, but when you find matches like this, it makes you scratch your head and go, I'll never see something like that again. Or when you see that freaking tag team spot in a Rock and Roll Express match, those are the things that I really like finding as we do these. So good stuff. Good stuff. All right. So we have come to the main event. Okay. And our last match of the night, and I'm going to go to Mr. Colin last. So I don't know if he's prepared a statement from his lawyer. We're going to do him last. I will actually give you my ranking of this match after I read the match, just because if it's a shit take, I can get it out of the way really, really quick. Okay. So this is Wahoo McDaniel versus Harley Race from February 10th, 1978. It is yet another Wahoo match that is 2 out of 3 falls for the NWA World Heavyweight title. And it really is obvious to me that Wahoo sure does get a shitload of title matches, but really never, you know, always comes up short. But let's see how the match is. So fall number one. Dick Kroll, who is the ref, according to Bosch, is an MSG referee that has been brought in for this because it's a tough match. So I do like that they sell this as this is such an important match that they brought someone from Madison Square Garden to be the ref. I did like that. I thought it was a strong start with Wahoo chops. Harley does, I think, a headbutt and knees to Wahoo's head. More Wahoo chops and body slam, and Wahoo does a flying body press for two. Harley with stiff headbutts and punches, and the two trade off, beating each other up. Wahoo hits a butterfly suplex. Side headlock escape by Harley with a backbreaker, but Wahoo hits an impressive hoss suplex and chop. Wahoo hits a stiff freaking, like, I'm sorry, Race hits a stiff headbutt to Wahoo's mouth, then hits an impressive atomic drop to Wahoo, and then more stiff knees and a suplex for three, so Harley wins the first fall. Fall number two, Race just keeps stiffing the shit out of Wahoo with knees and a pile driver for two. There's a front face lock and choke by Race. Wahoo comes back with stiff chops to his face. Wahoo hits a chop on Race that literally off the rope that Race just flies up into the air to, sells like a freaking champion, flies into the air, and then Wahoo hits an elbow for three, so we are tied at two falls apiece. Final fall. Wahoo starts right back up, stiffing Race with chops. They have a mid-ring collision on a rope throw. Crowd is absolutely going bonkers and loving this match. Harley with a stiff knee goes up top, but Wahoo body slams him off and hits an elbow to the head for two. Crowd again just going completely bonkers. Race headbutts Wahoo out of the ring. Wahoo goes into a ring post. Then Wahoo sends Race into ring post. Race is bleeding, and Wahoo is just pummeling with chops and elbows. And again, the one thing I love about this match, I personally love, is it just feels stiff. Wahoo gets two butterfly suplexes for two. Another great flying chop spot. Wahoo goes to pin, but Race gets his knees up. Race goes for a suplex, but Wahoo drops up behind for a roll-up of two. But Race versus it for three. So Harley Race wins 2 out of 3 falls match with two pins. So I'm going to give my take. Then I'm going to go to Dr. G, then I'll go to Ben, and then finally we will let Colm have the last say. So here's what I wrote. This match for me was an incredible stiff 27 minutes with two hosses beating the shit out of each other. If Colm hates this, I may have to fire him, or I might have to quit doing this podcast. That's what I wrote in my notes. So Dr. G, I went 4.25 stars on this, and if that's a shit take, I'm okay with it. Dr. G, what did you think?
Wow. I enjoyed the match. This is a true classic NWA heavyweight championship match. You know, the crowd was hot. These guys were beating the hell out of each other. They really are. You could tell they had a chemistry. You know, this wasn't the first time they worked together. You know, this is something that two tough guys, true tough guys in real life as well as in the ring, that really, you know, were battling each other. I thought it was interesting at the end when, you know, when Race won, they kept saying, oh, was he holding his tights? You know, like you couldn't tell. I think he was. That was the whole deal. But it really was like kind of a poor attempt of it. I don't know if you guys caught that at the end when he was trying to hold his tights. But the pin happened so fast. But I went 3.25 stars on it. I enjoyed it. I didn't think it was 4 stars, but I definitely thought it was better than the Midnights and the Rock and Roll. But I did enjoy the match, Sean.
I think it was better than the Flair match from Battle of the Belts that I gave Wahoo Flair. I thought it was better than that match.
It was better than that match. Yeah. It was. Actually, I kind of like the chemistry between Race and Wahoo better than Ric Flair and Wahoo.
Yeah, I would probably agree with you on it. Listen, Harley Race can't do it. I love, again, watching early Harley is also really great because those that watched him as the king in the WWF, you did not get freaking like Hoss Harley Race.
You know what? I'm thinking about it now because I rated this a few days. I you know what? I'm going to go 3.5 stars on it.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
3.5.
Very good. Awesome. Ben, what did you think?
Wow. This match must have been lost in translation then because I just didn't get it, boys. I'm sorry.
Wow. Jesus.
My first note was, oh, goody, it's Wahoo, and it's 2 out of 3 full. So I was already prepared. I'll say this. It's probably the third or fourth best match in the lot we've watched, though. So I'm not going to be
the best match of what we watched tonight.
No. But I will say this: some of those shots are brutal. Like for example, on that first fall, he did not need to do that suplex. Them knees were superb. Just that's a finisher right there. Just use that. And yeah, some really good stiff shots in this. But I don't know what it is. Like, I just, Wahoo just balls the crap out of me, boys. I'm sorry. And Harley's good, but he can't get him up to more than a decent level. I went 2.5 on it. Like, 27 minutes was far too long for this. Far too long.
My God. Oh, Ben, you're breaking my heart on this. I harshly disagree with you on that rating. But again, it is based on taste and it is based on preference, and you are a guest, and that's why we have different people on here for different opinions, even when they're wrong. So it's okay. I respect your decision. All right.
Sean's not angry. He's just disappointed.
I'm not angry. I'm disappointed because I was like, damn, I thought this was really good. And it's like, anyway, all right. So last but not least, Colin McDougall, the floor is yours.
What the hell, Sean, flinging out snowflakes like Meltzer in the dome here?
what do you think this is, AEW?
it's like why, who's Kenny Omega? Like, come on. Harley Race has prided himself on being the greatest wrestler on God's green earth. He had his work cut out in this one. I was quite impressed that Wahoo did a body slam because it was something that wasn't a tomahawk chop. So you can tell that, you know, that this was earlier than 1985. It wasn't on the level of Florida, just, you know, as a bonus. Yeah, I've not got many notes on it. It was stiff. Harley, well, both of them beat the shit out of each other, which was good. But Harley is nothing short of a miracle worker, I must say.
So you're saying that Harley carried everything? There was nothing Wahoo did of relevance. It was all Harley. Is that what I'm hearing?
Well, no. Wahoo carried, you know, something. His, you know, girth. Suppose he carried that. He's 7 years younger, so Harley has a bit more to work with than Flair did. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't 47 fucking minutes long. And I don't have many notes for the match because I actually just put my pen down and because I was enjoying it.
Oh, my God.
I went 3 stars on this one.
Holy shit.
Harley Race is a fucking miracle worker. And see what he said, he was the best on God's green earth. That wasn't just wrestling hyperbole.
This is an example. This is why he's the best, because he got a match out of somebody you absolutely despise that you gave 3 stars to.
Yes.
So I'm fascinated that you rated this match higher than Greg Valentine, who actually broke the leg, which made you very happy.
Oh no! Because what I did the match was a dog. But if you remember, I did give the angle in the post match 5 stars.
Yeah, you did. Wow, 3 stars. So I finally found a match with Wahoo that you liked.
Yes. You finally found a Harley Race match that has Wahoo in it that I like, yes.
But for the context, it was because of everything Race did and absolutely nothing that Wahoo did.
Well, given the body of work that I've seen Wahoo McDaniel put out in front of me, it must be all Harley, yes.
Okay. And he lost, which makes it even better, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, all right.
He's like, oh, absolutely.
All right. Well, wow. Yeah, so I'm pleasantly surprised. I feel like, listen, guys, you can say I'm a snowflaker or what. I love old times, just stiff beating the shit out of me. I'm going to go with you. I'm going to say but a lot of it was because of Harley Race. Harley Race, I mean, we watched him in that battle. Was it that same Battle of the Belts that we were talking about where he was tag teaming with Hanson against the Road Warriors?
Yes.
And we love that match too. So it's kind of like Harley can't do any wrong for us. I wish it's a shame that we didn't get more Harley and Crockett like in 85, because I bet him and Flair had some great rematches. That would have been awesome. But yeah, good stuff.
Wahoo's a better heel though. He's better when he's a heel.
So here's what's funny though. So, when we get to the stuff that we didn't watch in 1985, literally the week before Crockett bought him out and everything, the week prior to that was the cage match between Magnum TA and Wahoo McDaniel, while TA won the U.S. title. I do not put it in that watch because it technically happened before, but Wahoo was the heel. And the build to that match, and then his whole 84, with the exception of some of the matches like we saw with Billy fucking Graham, he is a good heel. You're right. And I think the face thing probably hurt him a little bit, I think. You're probably right. So, all right. Well, good. Well, guys, that brings us to the end of the show. So it looks like, for the most part, the Wahoo match will take first place. Looks like the Rock and Roll Express match will be number two and the Reed match will be number three. So looks sounds like three. And then we got the kind of little hidden, I'm not sure what to call it, thing with Darcy. So we got definitely some cool watches in this. Maybe not a bunch of 2-3-star matches, but I do definitely think we found some interesting stuff here. And that will continue on our next episode that Ben will also join us for in part two. So I'll give you a little sneak peek under the tent. We will have a loser must leave match with Terry Taylor. So we're all going to be happy about that if Taylor loses. Let's see, what else do we have? We have a 2 out of 3 falls match with Dusty Rhodes versus Bruiser Brody. How does that sound?
That's an interesting one.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. And then
might pique my interest.
Yep, and there is a Raging Bull Manny Fernandez versus Mills Mascaris match. I think that sounds pretty good, right? We like Mills, we like Bull.
Raging Bull was one of my favorites in the last time I was on.
Okay, yes.
How many two out of three fall matches are there, Sean, just so I can prepare this?
I think that only the one.
Okay, cool.
Only the one this time. Only the one. However, our final two matches that we'll be watching, Colum requested one as kind of a bonus, so it'll be Ivan Koloff and Dusty Rhodes in the Texas Deathmatch Coffin Match from 1980. Which sounds really, really bad, but Colum wanted to watch it, so we're going to watch it, good, bad, or indifferent. So if it sucks, put Colum on there. But Colum, I did add it for your view of pleasure.
It's a Texas Deathmatch Coffin Match, I mean.
With 1980 Dusty Rhodes and Ivan Koloff.
I fail to see how that's going to be anything but amazing.
It'll be anything but, it'll be entertaining no matter what. But because Colum requested that match, I added one more match of my own. Who do you think's in that match, Colum?
Oh, fucking Wahoo McDaniel, probably.
It is Wahoo McDaniel. However, it is against somebody on this show that we have a lot of respect for. He will be taking on Terry Funk.
Oh. All right. Nah, that could be a pretty good one.
So it'll be Terry Funk.
Colum, give it a shot. Give it a shot.
You like Terry Funk, right, Colum?
Oh, who doesn't like Terry Funk?
So let's see if Terry Funk can pull the miracle work like Harley Race did.
Have you noticed, Colum, that Sean has to justify all these Wahoo matches to you?
Yeah. It's like the last three episodes, it's Wahoo McDaniel. But it's not going to get it.
Well, if you say the last three episodes, wait until the next four or five. Shit.
Wonderful. But it's like, it's Wahoo. But he gets his leg broken. It's Wahoo. But it's Harley Race.
But it's Wahoo against Terry Funk.
I know.
He might get branded. We don't know.
Oh, God.
No, I hope he does.
Colin, I love you keeping this gimmick ongoing. It's one of my favorite parts of this show. So no, your visceral hate, you're running your visceral hate for Wahoo is probably one of my favorite things.
No, it's not difficult.
I was going to say gimmick.
Well, it's not. Well, it's a gimmick for me to keep shoving these down his throat and him just taking it on the chin until I get a resignation letter. But I at least try to make the matches. I at least try to make the matches interesting, if that's anything. So, all right. So good show tonight, guys. Some good watches. Definitely go out of your way to watch a few of these. You can absolutely skip the first one for sure. No one needs to watch Ivan versus Atlas ever again. But anyway, so before we go, we will do some quick plugs. So I will go to our guest, Ben. What do you got?
Okay, I'll let Callum talk about the show that we're on, but I will mention our show, Sean. So Chicken Salad, we are going to be in July, and we are going to be watching Bash at the Beach 2000 because we haven't got to 2000 WCW yet, so we need to change that.
You chose that show based on kind of a similar thing, like Colin feels about Wahoo. I feel the same about Booker T. So you chose that show because of Booker T, so I could be miserable.
I might have picked that show because there's two Booker T matches and there's technically two Double J matches, so that might be why I picked it.
So Colin, you're not the only one that has to endure misery of someone he hates.
Highway to the Impact Zone, we recorded a couple of nights ago, and that was Against All Odds 2005 on the pop feed. There's Telly and T with me and Miranda. We're back up and running. We're just shooting the breeze on that at the moment. And we're also Popcorn Chicken Salad, where we watch Top Gun, and we're going to be watching Euro Trip for the next one.
The Top Gun was fun, a little bit out of control, and I've never seen Euro Trip, so I actually look forward to watching that.
Yes. Yeah, it'll be good fun. Good time at by all.
Yep. All right, cool. Colin, what do you got?
So as Ben mentioned, we host these special releases together. We just did our latest episode. I just dropped on Saturday as we record this. So it was a week ago as this one drops. We battled through some. Everyone had technical issues. It was an interesting show. What you actually hear might be about half of what we actually recorded, or certainly half the length of what we recorded. But that was another fun time had by all. We unfortunately didn't manage to get the Hell in a Cell live watch in due to some technical and work based issues on my end, so apologise for anyone who was looking forward to that. But we'll be back for Money in the Bank on Twitch, twitch.tv/PlaceToBeNation, and the Place to Be Nation YouTube page. Search Place to Be Nation, all one word, on there, and subscribe, follow, all that jazz on those two platforms for pay-per-view live watches, watch me play games quite badly, including Retromania Wrestling, which was the last one that were up on the YouTube page. So yes, please give us a follow on there for all that sort of goodness.
All right, excellent. And Dr. G, what do you got?
Well, as always, every Saturday morning, the NWA Saturday special with Podfather Scott Criscolo drops every Saturday morning, except for this week we had a little fun on Friday night, so we weren't able to record.
I didn't say you got drunk. You got drunk and couldn't record, I think is what the gist was, right?
That's according to the Podfather. I wanted to record, he didn't. But
yeah, okay, yeah. All right, okay, got it.
But you know what? Enjoy tonight. No. on the Place to Be podcast tonight. They need some downloads. They love to have the guys from Rock and Roll come on there and, you know, help them with their downloads. So I know you guys will do that when you're recording later. But anyway, no, we're really getting into the NWA stuff, leading up to the pay-per-view in August. So, take a listen. If you haven't watched the new NWA, product, Fight TV, $5 a month. It's worth it. We're really enjoying it. And, you know, I enjoy doing the show every week because I love talking about something different. You know, the NWA is different from the big companies. And that's what I think I'm enjoying right now. But that's what I got going on right now. And of course, this show.
Yep. Excellent. So, as for me, you can find me on Twitter at NWA Crock and Roll. You heard a lot of the pods that I'm on that Ben mentioned. We talked about at the beginning of the show and the end of the show. You can find me over on the Pop feed, Pop Goes to the Couch, where we're currently doing Loki, Battlestar in the 25th Century. I do with Scott Shiflett over there. YouTube Roulette is another show we do here on the Wrestling Feed, where once a month we randomly pick YouTube matches to watch, four matches, and do commentary with me, Logan, Schiff, and Jake. And over on the North-South feed, you can catch me once a month with Sousa, watching current Impact Wrestling pay-per-views. And on our next one, Slammiversary, we're actually going to have Logan and Jake on from Highway to the Impact Zone to watch it along with us as we talk about the show. So definitely look forward to that. So but listen to all the feeds, the Jetty Position, the Wrestling Feed, the Pop Feed, North-South Connection. Great shows with great people. Highly entertaining. And I believe, Dr. G, you said that we are the top 100 in what here on the Wrestling Feed?
Top 100 wrestling podcasts in the world.
Top 100 wrestling podcasts in the world. What a gimmick. That should be a shirt. I assume that's being worked on by Chris Golo. By the way, we still can't get merchandise for the chicken salad pod. So could you work on the Godfather or the Podfather with that too, please? Because we
I'm on the Podfather constantly. Yeah. You know,
we've been waiting for merch for that show for a fucking year. Could you help us with that?
Hey, I will. But you know what? You could really get on them tonight.
Yeah, you know, I kind of feel like the mothership is that one you can't like kind of do that stuff. Just because it's kind of like the main, you know, like I'd rather do it on the side. I'm not going to call him out.
Yeah. You're a good guy. That's all I like about you.
I got to show a little bit of respect for the mothership.
Yeah, some respect. I love it.
Yeah, I mean, I could be an ass on all the other pods. I got to show some respect on that one. So. All right.
Well, get those Wahoo matches ready. I think you should do 7 Wahoo matches for the next one.
No. Okay, so here's the deal. So this is episode 19. So we're going to relaunch. This is so great. We're going to relaunch December 85 on episode number 25. So there is 5 more shows between now and September. I can probably guarantee you there's probably going to be at least 3 Wahoo matches between now and episode 25. No, I can probably guarantee it because I've already set the match watches for all those episodes, Colin. So I guarantee you there's at least 3.
Wonderful. Excellent.
Thanks, you can't wait.
Colin, can I give you one more? Can I give you one more sneak under the tent to put you over the edge?
Why not?
So 2 more of the matches we're going to watch. Our Flair versus Wahoo.
Oh, fuck's sake. you rate a match 3 stars, right? You give a man, an inch, and he takes a mile.
Okay, but Colin, in all fairness, these have been planned out for like months. These matches, it's not like I purposely did it.
Well, I was thinking that before we started. I'm not so sure.
Okay, but you got some time. They're spread out. But
you know what the argument is there, though, don't you? Yeah, Sean's planning the matches out, but he could have planned not to put them in.
No, but literally, how do you not play? Listen, I love this like little thing we're doing here. How do you not plan to put them in when it's part of what we didn't watch in 1985 as part of our watch? You have to go back and watch it because we missed it in our first round.
Sean, there was 4 months of stuff. In fact, no, it was the first round. It was we had 8 months of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Crockett produced 6 hours of television a week.
We missed 24 matches from April to November 85 that we did not watch. 24.
Only 24?
Only 24 matches that we missed in that time frame.
That seems quite low.
That's available on YouTube, ones that you can actually find.
Oh, right, okay.
Well, unfortunately, 2 of them are Wahoo versus Flair. So, unfortunately.
We don't need to put them in. Right, they can go forever unwatched.
All right, on that note, we're going to end on Colin's disappointment. But he did make a 3-star Wahoo match, so I win for now. And I just take the journey with me, Colin. I think once we get through to December 85, the Wahoo is very limited at that point. We can move on. Okay.
Excellent.
So once we get to September, I promise you we'll move away from Wahoo. Okay.
Can't wait.
All right. So, all right. So I'm Sean, for Dr. G, Column, and our guest host tonight, Ben Locke. We will see you back in 2 weeks for Crock and Roll Houston Layover Part 2. See you, everybody.